Well, today we'll plan to continue with and possibly conclude with Acts chapter 13 today. And as what we covered last week was that Paul had finished his message to the synagogue that was there at Antioch of Pisidia. They're kind of like in the heartland of Asia Minor. And then the Jews went out, but the Gentiles begged to hear more. And Kaufman's comment from verse 42 was, "So far, so good. Everything at that juncture seemed to be fine." What is not mentioned, Luke doesn't mention in the text, and the commentators didn't even mention, but it said that they wanted him to preach to them again the next Sabbath. Well, so from there, Saturday to Saturday, they had 7 days, and Paul and Barnabas were staying in town. So there's no doubt in my mind that they kept working the town and teaching, and these people, these Gentiles that heard this message, that they were very encouraged by, and some of the Jews also, very encouraged. And so surely they went and got their family and friends and say, "Hey, I want you to give this message to them and teach them." And anyway, word, one way or another, the word got around, and so then the next Sabbath, then there was a huge multitude. It was people from all over the city. You know, I'm assuming probably the largest crowd that had ever showed up at this Jewish synagogue. And, you know, that seemed very optimistic, but then the Jews were filled with envy, verse 45 said, and they started contradicting Paul and blaspheming against Jesus. And that really got Paul and Barnabas upset, and they grew bold, is what Luke wrote down. And then Paul started to talk to them, letting them know that since they were rejecting God's message and about God's kingdom, that they were going to take this message to the Gentiles, and then gave them a passage from Isaiah 49 to let them know that this is what God had commanded, that they were going to be, that the Jews were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles and for salvation to the ends of the earth, was the passage that Paul quoted to them. And so now that leads up right to the verse that we're starting today, verse 48, which Luke wrote, "Now when the Gentiles heard this, that the Jews were going to be as a light to the Gentiles, and that they would be, the Jews would be for salvation to the ends of the earth." So it would be that the Jews would spread to the ends of the earth a message of salvation to the Gentiles. So when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Okay. So here we have a passage that has been misconstrued and taken by this group known as the Calvinist as one of their key verses to promote the false teaching of predestination, that God pre-selected before the beginning of earth, before creation, pre-selected those souls that would be saved, and then predetermined those souls that would be lost. And neither group could do anything to, and none of the individuals could do anything to change themselves from one group or the other, to God had pre-selected one individual that was in the saved category, it couldn't do anything to mess up. It didn't matter what they did to be in a lost condition. And then those that were predetermined to be lost could not do anything to get back into the saved condition. So this is just a terribly false teaching. And Kaufman and the other commentator contending for the faith did a very good job, and they wrote two pages to combat this false teaching. But then, in addition, I had AI write, because I really had never studied Calvinism, and I just knew basic, you know, very minimal amount, and so I Google AI gave me two pages of information, and there's 5 points. And Timothy, when we were down at Houston on one Wednesday night visiting him, he gave the question came up from somebody, and he just off the top of his head gave these 5 points. And it's by the acronym TULIP. And anyway, Timothy went over that. I'd not known anything. But anyway, he just off the top of his head, he gave a whole thing that I didn't even realize he knew that much about Calvinism. But anyway, I got AI, and at reading it, it basically said what Timothy had stated down there, just off the cuff. But anyway, then this morning, even I got one more thought that I probably ought to look at the Greek, how Luke actually wrote this text, to see if there might be some kind of issue with a translation. Maybe it's translated incorrectly, because reading it, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And I was glad that this morning I checked the Greek interlinear, because what's known as a transliteration, just a straight translation from Greek into English, reads this way: "Hearing then, the Gentiles were rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and believed as many as were appointed to life eternal." So they put, it's a compound sentence here, is how the Greek is written with the conjunction "and," whereas I think most of the translations put a period after "Lord" and have a new sentence beginning with the word "and." but really, this is a compound sentence is what it is. And then "believed" is listed here right after the word "and." And just looking at that, to me, it looked like that it should have stated in the translation, "and as many as believed were appointed to eternal life." Now that makes, wording that way makes complete sense, and would not be a verse that the Calvinists could use at all. That would sound exactly, the same or cohesive with what Luke wrote in Acts 2:38, Acts 2:47, many other times through the New Testament about those such as were being saved, those that were obedient, those that believed, which we understand that to be an obedient belief, were being saved. And that would be "as many as believed were appointed to eternal life." So it were those that believed that were appointed to eternal life, instead of the "as many as were had been appointed to eternal life." Then those people believe. I think they've got the cart before the horse, and that's not the way that Luke wrote it in the Greek. And so then I even went one step further and asked Google Gemini, just looking at the Greek text, what does this passage mean? And it wrote that this passage says, that the Gentiles who believed were in the state of having been appointed to eternal life. Now, there is nothing wrong. I'm really, after I looked at that this morning, I'm convinced that this is unfortunately mistranslated. They got the word believed in the wrong place. They should have put it where Luke put it, which is right after the word and not at the end of the sentence. And Luke did not put it there. So I don't know. Every translation I looked at, they all put believed at the end. Even Hugo McCord, Mother looked it up this morning. I was disappointed in that. And I even asked Google AI, I said, are there any English translations that worded it as many as believed were appointed to eternal life? And it said no, there were none. And I couldn't find any either. Yes? Definitely. Right. Yes, definitely. Yes. It's definitely talking about the Gentiles. But the key is, who were the appointed to eternal life? It'd be the Gentiles. Then, what the Calvinists have taken this verse to say is that they were predetermined, and I think the Old King James says ordained, and say that they were ordained, and they say, well, that was before creation, you know, before they were, you know, born or anything, just in God's mind or whatever. And then, you know, centuries and millennia later, whenever they're born, well, they were predetermined to either be saved or lost, and they can't do anything to change that. So, but instead of that is, I'm of the mindset now, after looking straight at the Greek, that it should have been as many as believed. Well, those were the ones that were appointed to eternal life, just as Acts 2:47, that they were appointed and added to God's kingdom, such as were being saved. Those that were obedient, and the obedient belief, those were the ones that were being saved. And that would be perfectly cohesive with what Luke had written in Acts 2. And I looked into that. The Google AI said it's the once saved, I always saved is of a similar mindset of Calvinism. Now it said, but they're two different groups. It's like two different paths of false teaching, but it's a root of it both. But it's the same kind of idea. The Calvinists have the same thought, but the ones that usually believe of once saved, always saved aren't Calvinist, but they have taken that part from Calvinism of you can't lose your salvation. Whereas now the Calvinists, they even go further that if you were predetermined by God to be lost, it didn't matter what you did. You could never be saved. You were lost and condemned eternally, no matter how you lived your life, how righteous or anything, it didn't matter because you're eternally lost. And God predetermined that. Well, yeah. And you know, since you brought that up, when Timothy and I were going to the prison, it was a very positive experience. The only thing that I can think of right off the top of my head that wasn't quite right. They had down, you might have seen movies and they say, everybody's innocent here. No, nobody did any of the crimes that we got convicted for. You know, everyone's innocent here. Now, they did not say that. To their credit, they said, we did the bad things. Of course, we're guilty and we're not here unjustly. there wasn't anyone that said, hey, I was falsely convicted. You know, I got framed or whatever, or the judge was corrupt. None of that. So they admitted that they were not there incorrectly. But what they did say is that it was not their fault. They never would have done those bad things, the murders, the thefts, the drugs. They never would have done it, but the devil made them do it. And that was about universal over the whole group. Every one of them, it was the devil made them do it. And they never would have done those bad things. And so the devil forced them to be there. Right. But they yielded to the devil. It was like, well, the devil took control, you know, like a demon took control of me, and I had nothing to do with any of it, and forced me. I could not resist it. Yeah, so that, see, I know. Yeah. But anyway, so they did come up with that. And I was very pleased to have AI just come up with the meaning of the passage when it looked only at the Greek and not the English translation to say this passage says that the Gentiles who believed were in the state of having been appointed to eternal life. So it was after they repented and were baptized, just as in Acts 2. Those were the ones who were appointed to eternal life. Those were the ones that were added to God's kingdom. Those were the ones that such as were being saved. Same wording as Luke used in Acts 2. Okay, so that was very consistent. And I really think that that's the problem, and it's unfortunate. And here it's been centuries and centuries. I don't know, the commentators didn't mention anything about an issue, which they were nothing about Greek. Neither one of the two I'm reading. In every translation, it just puts believed at the end of the sentence. But that's not the way Luke wrote it in the Greek. Okay. Any questions or comments on this part? Now, I would introduce first just about an overview of Calvinism that Google Gemini came up with. And so we'll just have a little bit of how wrong and how awful this false teaching is, because I was not real familiar myself, and I felt like I needed it myself. Okay, and it wrote, Calvinism, also known as Reformed theology, is a major branch of Protestantism founded on the teachings of 16th century French reformer John Calvin. And I was surprised that John Calvin was a French, which I never really even thought about it, but just looking at his name, I would have thought that he was from England, is what I would have thought, but he was French. The distinctive points of the Calvinist doctrine of salvation are commonly summarized by the acronym TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, which was formalized in 1619. The 5 points which make up the acronym TULIP are total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. So the T is total depravity, the U is unconditional election, the L is limited atonement, the I is irresistible grace, and the P is perseverance of the saints. Okay. Then it gave, a couple of sentences or so to describe each of these acronyms on the false teaching. So the T, total depravity, the Google AI wrote, because of the fall of man from Adam and Eve, every human is born enslaved to sin and is spiritually dead. And also this was the false teaching of original sin. That these Calvinists believe in. Okay, so because of the fall of mankind from Adam and Eve, every human born is to sin is spiritually dead. Humans are incapable of choosing God or saving themselves without divine intervention. You know, now that sentence just by itself is not completely wrong. No human can save, none of us can save ourselves. It's God in through Jesus' blood that does the saving. But of course, that has to be with the precondition of being obedient to God's will. And Kaufman hits that point very well in his refutation of this false teaching. Then the U, unconditional election. God chose specific individuals for salvation before the world began. These people are known as the elect. This choice was based solely on his mercy and sovereign will and not on any foreseen merit or future faith in those people. So, in this false doctrine, God predetermined, not now, you know, God knows all things and sees into the future and the past, but anyway, they were very clear that this unconditional election is not on some kind of a foreknowledge that God would have to predetermine, say, okay, well, this person's going to be righteous, and I know that, so I'm going to go ahead and predetermine that they'll be saved. They put it right in their false doctrine that that's not any part of it. It's just like a random choice that God makes, not by anything of righteousness that the person will eventually have when they grow up. There's none of that. It's just like a random, you know, you're saved and you're lost, and just pick and choose, just like with the sheep and the goats. And there's no other, there's no foreseen merit or future faith in those people. That is not the foundation that of choosing who will be saved and who's lost. Okay. So then the L, limited atonement, also called particular redemption. This doctrine asserts that Jesus died specifically to secure the salvation of those elect, those unconditionally elected people, rather than dying for every individual in a general way. So, and Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Well, and that's what Jesus even said, which that, according to their false doctrine, Jesus, that was a false statement that Jesus made, because he didn't seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save, and he was only going to die for those that God predetermined were going to be saved beforehand, and there's nothing they could do to lose their salvation. And then those that were predetermined to be lost, there's nothing they could do to get into the saved category. There's, you know, no obedience, no righteousness, nothing matters. So that's the limited atonement part. Then the I, irresistible grace. If God has sovereignly decided to save someone, His Holy Spirit will provide an internal call that the individual cannot ultimately resist. This grace changes the person's heart so they willingly come to the faith. And then I wrote this part here that is basically a reiteration of what Kaufman will end up writing, but I wrote in here, if this were true, then there would be no need to go and teach the gospel to every human. Those individuals would find the gospel all by themselves. And see, then that's in direct refutation of what Jesus on the Great Commission, one of the last things that he told the apostles, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or every human, to everyone. And if this Calvinism were true, Jesus would have never said that. He would have said, the Holy Spirit will send to you those that God has predetermined to be saved, and those are the ones you will teach. That's what Jesus would have said. I don't know. I am dumbfounded at how many it was. AI said there were 8 passages that they hung to formulate this false doctrine, and boy. Here, you know, misconstrue or, you know, misread 8 passages. And then look how many that they have to just completely throw out that are no longer consistent with each other. And a lot of the words are Jesus. You'd have to call him. Well, you misled everybody if this false Calvinism doctrine were true. So there's many things that should have been red flags to these people, and this is from the 1600s, 15 or 1600s, from the 1500s. Yes, that's right. Unfortunately, but you are correct. That is, I'm going to say this is the majority now. And I don't know. I don't see any way of it necessarily turning around. It seems like it's going the other way. It's getting more and more that way, and more accepting of all kinds of sinfulness and all. You hear about it on, well, you see, on the news or whatnot, and on socially, everything is going to way more accepting, more sinfulness than even was 5 or 10 years ago, much less 20 or 30 years ago. So it almost seems like we're snowballing, getting worse and worse and worse on society, going downhill fast with accepting and rejecting the truth and not wanting to hear the truth. Anyway, so yeah, there's lots of problems. Right. Yeah. The apostles would have been teaching this in the first century. They wouldn't have been able to come up with this some 1500 or 1600 years later. This would have been, well, it would have been very well laid out here. And then the first, after the first, the second and third century, they would have been all over this. And it would have, that's when it would have originated, definitely. And not 1500, 1600 years later, a millennial and a half later, it wouldn't have done that. But anyway. Right. Yeah. Give the opportunity. Right. Yes. Right. Yes. 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 No. That statement, bad spreads faster than good. Dad always told us that a good habit is 10 times harder to pick up than a bad habit. You'll pick up a bad habit just like that, but you'll have to work and work and work 10 times harder to pick up that good habit that you need to stick with maybe for life. But Dad always taught us from a young age that very concept there. And, that's a warning, because, hey, we'll pick up a bad habit just the first time you hear it. And then, kind of like heroin, then you're hooked for life. You've got to have it then. And so he was using that as a warning. You've got to stay guard and protect against these bad habits. And boom, as soon as you notice it, boy, you've got to do like Joseph and shun it and run away. But anyway, so that's a good point that Dad always taught us growing up. Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yes. Yes. And then the last P, the last letter of the acronym TULIP, is Perseverance of the Saints. Those truly chosen and called by God will remain in the faith until the end. They cannot lose their salvation because it is God who preserves them. So no matter what sinfulness, they can become a serial killer, any bad thing, or, of course, we realize it doesn't take that to of what even in the New Testament is referred to as evilness. It's just unrighteousness and disobedience is termed as evilness and wickedness in the New Testament. So, but even as society would see, they think of the worst sinners like the serial killers or whatnot. But if God had predetermined them to be saved, it didn't matter what they could do. They could never lose their salvation because God preserves them. So those are the 5 points of this false doctrine and teaching of Calvinism. So are there any questions or comments on this?